This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Some people follow the rules, I break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we talk to the rebels who do things their way. Listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Den, what do you got?
All right, let's start locally. We talked about the Caps earlier. They beat the Bruins 4-3. Alex Ovechkin scores .891. He is 3 away from tying Wayne Gretzky. He is 4 away from breaking Wayne Gretzky's record, and they are in action tonight on the road against Carolina.
Yeah, and this is now true, you know, watch every moment because he could get on a heater one night and we're like tonight and he is, you know, within one of tying Gretzky. I mean, what if he gets a goal in the first period and a goal in the second period? Now you're really, you know, you're really paying attention. And the guy's been on an absolute, as you said, heater, 5 goals in his last 8 games. He's tied for 4th. In goals this year, even though he's played 10 less games from, you know, one of the players in front of him and 15 less games than a few of the players in front of him. He's having an insane season. And, you know, with 8 games left, it seems now, based on the scoring rate, it's a foregone conclusion that it's going to happen here before the end of the regular season. Certainly, you could go into a goal-scoring drought right now before the playoffs begin. You know, what's interesting is that I was thinking about this, and I'm sure people who are really following this closely have thought about this, but the Caps right now pretty much have locked up the number one seed overall in the Eastern Conference playoffs. Would they consider down the stretch in their last game or two, let's just say, giving, you know, their starters some rest before the postseason begins, including their oldest starter, Alex Ovechkin? Now, it's possible that before we get to that, you know, those last few games, he's already broken the record. But, you know, if you get to, you know, Tuesday, April 15th and Thursday, April 17th, and he's one short of breaking the record, and you're at the Islanders and at Pittsburgh before the playoffs begin on Saturday or Sunday for you in a game one on April 19th or April 20th, in most cases, you know, thinking about what's best for the team, you'd probably be resting him when those games mean nothing with respect to the standings. I don't think you'll see that with him, though, if he hasn't broken the record. But 8 games left, and let's face it, with 105 points, and the next best record is 94 points, Carolina in their own division, Toronto in the Atlantic division, You're not losing the one seed here down the stretch, more likely than not. So you would probably look to rest some of your starters in those final few games. But no, the spotlight will be on Alex Ovechkin the rest of the way until he breaks the record. And if he doesn't break the record, I guarantee you there are some salespeople with Monumental that probably won't be totally distraught. Because they would have an entire off season from, you know, April and May through next October to sell the Ovechkin, you know, Gretzky record breaking game for next year. But I think we're going to see it this year. All right, what else?
I do wonder. I don't know that hockey players take rest the way that most other guys do leading up to the postseason. So I think you might see a lot of the starters keep going. It's something about the mentality.
Is that true? I don't know.
It's something about the mentality of being a hockey player where I don't know that they rest as frequently as other sports do. even if they have stuff locked up, especially because you want to stay in some sort of rhythm, you know, particularly in the NHL postseason. By the way, the Dallas Stars are creeping up on the West in terms of points. They're at 102, only four behind Winnipeg.
Look at you. Going through the standings. Yeah, they've won six in a row. They're 102 points. Winnipeg's at 106, and the Caps are at 105. Yes.
You got the St. Louis Blues who've won 10 in a row. All right, I'm done looking at the standings here. How about the Nationals? They fell to the Blue Jays 5-3 yesterday. Yep. A rough outing for Trevor Williams. He allowed 10 hits in five innings, striking out just three and allowing three runs. There was no Dylan Cruz in this one. Dylan Cruz did not start.
I did notice that.
He'd been hitless, so maybe this will just have him simmer down a little bit, get back out there today, get after it, and hopefully get his first hit.
Well, James Wood struck out three times in the game as well. Now, he has, I think now, three strikeout games. Is that true? I think before last night's game, I think he had two other games in which he struck out three times. Yeah. He struck out three times against the Phillies in their second game and the third game against the Phillies, and then struck out three times last night. He has... just four hits and 19 at bats. He's hitting .211 here early in the season. So two of the, big watches are off to very slow starts. It's early, though. They played five games. They've got another 157 left. Long season. C.J. Abrams, though, big night for him. 3-for-4 with an RBI. But the Nats are off to a 1-4 start. And look, the Dodgers right now are 7-0 with the Padres at 6-0 in that National League West, and the Dodgers are heading towards some personal team best records, I think.
And the Dodgers will be here next week. They're here Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at Nats Park. So the Nats finish their season or their series with Toronto today, and then they get a big home stretch with three games with Arizona this weekend, and then you get three games to start next week with the Dodgers. So you get to see potentially Shohei Ohtani in action.
Yeah. I mean, in some capacity. The Dodgers coming into town, it's always been a big deal since baseball came back, but with Ohtani, it's a massive deal.
By the way, that Tuesday game is Mackenzie Gore and Blake Snell, so that'll be a fun one on the mound. You get the Wizards in action tonight against the Sacramento Kings. This is the first of a back-to-back. They're in action tomorrow as well at home. That one you can hear right here on Team 980.
Yeah, I talked about this in the open. Last night was an all-time night for the NBA in a regular season night. The Bucks had the highest field goal percentage this century. Steph went for 52 at 37 years old in a win at Memphis. And Nikola Jokic had one of the greatest individual performances in NBA history. If you missed it, 61-10-10 in a double overtime loss to Minnesota. That was really a crushing loss. Russell Westbrook single-handedly lost the game for Denver in the second overtime by... First of all, with about 11 seconds to go, shooting a breakaway layup when he probably should have dribbled the ball out, burnt another 3 or 4 seconds, and taken the foul. But he missed the layup and then ended up fouling the shooter with 0.1 seconds left on the other end, and they lost on free throws in two overtimes. But, man, Nikola Jokic, the Joker, is just... I think for me right now, Denton, and mark this one down because we should do this in the coming weeks when the Final Four is over, when, we'll have a lot of draft talk, obviously. Maybe it's after the draft. But what is the best watch in sports right now? It could be a team or it could be a player. The Joker's near the top of the list for me.
I mean,
he might be
the
top of the list for me.
It's either him or Steph right now. So it's one of the two guys from last night.
Yeah, I'm saying in all of sports, in terms of right now, in all of sports, full calendar year, so we take football into consideration as well, what's the best watch? You can easily make the case that it's Jokic. He's just flat out right now at 30 years old, in the conversation for the greatest big man of all time. And that sparks a whole other debate about Wilt and Russell and Kareem and Olajuwon and Shaq, etc. But in terms of his overall versatility as a player, which, by the way, is available to him in this day and age. It wasn't available to some of those other players. Big men were big men. We're watching, you know, a 6 foot 11, 7 foot, 290 pound point guard, small forward, big forward, and center. Whatever you need on whatever night you need, he can do it. He's averaging a triple double. He's not going to win the MVP this year. The season he's having right now may be the best season of his career. It would be the first season averaging a triple-double for him in his career if it happens. Now, he's at 10.2 assists, so his assist total could potentially over the final, you know, 7, 8, 9 games, whatever it is at this point, could dip below 10. But SGA is going to win the MVP. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander at OKC, who, by the way, right now, they do look like the best team in the NBA. He's going to win his first MVP. I don't know how Jokic, the first, he's won it twice already, and this is the best year of his career, and he's not going to win it. It's kind of like Lamar Jackson, multiple-time MVP, and then he has the best year of his career and he doesn't win it. It's the same thing with Jokic right now. Two-time MVP, and this year is the best year of his career. He's playing the best basketball of his career, and he's not going to win it.
Three-time MVP.
Three-time MVP.
Yeah, so this will be four.
Now, I think you could make a better case for SGA over Jokic than I think you could for Josh Allen over Lamar Jackson. I thought Lamar Jackson deserved the MVP. I think that was a much closer call. But, yeah, I mean, the two parallel one another. Yeah, multi-time MVPs having the best years of their careers, and they don't win it in their best year of their career. All right, what else do you have?
All right, did you see this new study that was run? The Major League Baseball average salary has now topped $5 million for the first time. Thank you to guys like Juan Soto for that, because when you throw a $700 million contract in there, that is going to rise the average salary for everybody. But that's still great news for Major League Baseball.
By the way, how has his season started? Haven't followed it.
I know it started a little slow the first series, that there were some people that were upset. I think he struck out to lose a game early on, but he's hitting .250 to start. He has a homer, two RBI, an OPS of .955. So it's good, not great.
$5 million a year is the average salary. But is that's probably, what's the average salary of an NBA player? It's got to be
a lot higher than that. Yeah.
What is it?
I don't know what the average NBA salary is, but there's also significantly more baseball players than
NBA
of
course,
players.
Just like there's significantly more football players than even baseball players. But in, you know, the NFL obviously is different too in the salary structure. What is the
so the average annual salary in the NBA for the 2024-25 season is $11.9 million.
Wow. That's unbelievable.
The NFL average salary in 2024 was $3.2 million.
Yeah, I was going to say it's definitely a lot less than baseball. I would have thought it might even have been even less than that.
The NHL is $2.69 million, so the NHL is actually close to the NFL in average salary per year.
Again, fewer players, but more players than a basketball team. Basketball is $11.9 million. You said,
yeah.
That's the average salary. What's the minimum contract in the NBA? Is it over $1 million?
If you're talking veteran minimum, I think so. It looks like the veteran minimum, which is a minimum contract for a player with 3 or more years of experience, is around $2 million.
Wow.
If you have 10 plus years of experience, that then jumps to $3.3 million.
Do you, you know, same, you know, salary conversation, but different sport. Have you seen some of the stories out there about some of the salaries, NIL salaries for players here during this portal season. Did you see what Braden Smith might get from Kentucky?
I did see some of those numbers.
$4 million a year.
I tend to take those with massive grains of salt.
Okay. What if it's $3 million a year?
I mean, congratulations to him if that is true. That's a ton of money, though. I don't know how much I agree with.
In the conversation, which was what, a week ago with Kevin Willard on this show, he went into, you know, some of these guys now are getting $2 to $3 million and asking for that and getting it. I mean, I just read something, and again, you're probably right. It's probably on the high end. Braden Smith was the Big Ten Player of the Year, the 3-year starter at point guard for Purdue. It's weird. Purdue, you know, has essentially a program in which they just have their own players that they recruited. Like, there was this graphic put up during the tournament last week of the Sweet 16 teams and where the starting fives came from. And almost every team, you know, the players started somewhere else other than the school they were playing for currently. Purdue, all five starters. Purdue. They all went, you know, came in to Purdue, stayed at Purdue. Now, Braden Smith looks like he could leave for that kind of payday at Kentucky. He's a good player. He's a really good player. That's insane money for
that
a college
player.
That
is insane money. I'm looking at On Three's NIL valuation, which I take these a little bit more seriously, and the highest guy right now, as you can imagine, is Arch Manning at $6.5 million, but we've seen him in a ton of commercials, so that one does to me make sense. And then Cooper Flagg is second with $4.8 million. So I just find it a little confusing, and maybe not 100% that like Kentucky is going to offer a Braden Smith $4 million.
If On Three is it on3.com?
On3.com,
and they track
these do NIL things? Valuations. Yeah, this would be On Three is a source that I trust. They do pretty good work. With some,
you know,
of this stuff.
A bunch of people tweeted me about. We played that long 2.5 minute press conference, very emotional press conference from Haley Van Lith, mm-hmm. who was a, you know, 5-year college basketball player, and she played at TCU. They lost in the Elite Eight, and we played it. And I said, if you should really go watch it, and I got a bunch of tweets from people who's, you know, many of which said, hey, thanks for sending me to that. But then other people saying, you do realize how much money she's made in 5 years. Like, don't shed tears. Like, it's so ridiculous. She's had mental health problems. She threatened suicide. I mean, come on, people. Who cares about the money? But I guess somebody sent me something that she basically earned $7 million as a women's college basketball player over 5 years.
I think her valuation this year was around $1 million. So, that checks out.
Yeah. So, Arch Manning's getting what? At Texas?
His valuation right now is...
His valuation, but what's he getting paid?
Well, I have no idea. I'm not counting his books. But this is more than just like... sometimes you think, like you hear like the Braden Smith thing, for example, that Kentucky is going to pay him $4 million or whatever.
Right.
This is more in the lines with like he's getting money from Texas, but then he's also getting, you know, commercials for Red Bull. Commercials for Waymo's in Austin and doing all the stuff he does on social media, being heavily involved with the video game. So all of those things take into consideration here.
Incredible. I mean, you know, it's great for the players. It's been incredible for the players. You know, these players that have been a part of these early years of getting paid, you know, you wonder whether or not it's almost like, you know, being involved in, you know, a multi-level marketing scam. Like if you're in at the very beginning, you get all the money, but if you come in at the end, you get screwed. That's not true because of all the money that's available for college sports. And we're going to, you know, this month, more likely than not, you know, a salary cap structure, but NIL is separate from that. And it's incredible where college sports is today versus where it was just 4 or 5 years ago. just amazing the amount of money that's been thrown at this. And I've told you before, going back, you know, a couple of years, that, you know, the rev share makes the most sense. I think players unionizing at this point probably makes the most sense for maybe all parties involved. But beyond that, and not getting into the details of that, you know, these schools that are coming up with all of this money through collectives or through true NIL, it's, which, you know, is more business funded for actual name, image, and likeness, which is kind of a joke because most of it's just been pay to play through the collectives. That at some point, you know, how do you keep going back to the same people when your hit rate is like an NFL draft hit rate, like best case, 1 out of 3? Like, you asked me for $1 million for that player. He played 5 games, averaged 0.7 points, and then transferred, you know, and took more money for the next place. And that happens more times than not. But in certain places, it's a never-ending money pit. And, you know, turn your eyes towards the SEC for those places in particular. I am going through, you know, this site that you just sent me to, and Jacoby Gillespie comes in at 56, and his valuation is $1.5 million. Maryland, give him two. Tennessee is going to pay. I think he wants to go home. He's from Tennessee. I wonder what Rodney Rice is worth. Probably not much less than that. Probably right around the same amount. I don't see him on this list.
Yeah, I'm trying to find this list. It's a lot more football players than basketball players, as you could imagine. End with this. Not good news, but it is unfortunately news. Val Kilmer passes at 65 years old.
Yeah, I mean, what an actor. He revealed that, you know, he was battling cancer, throat cancer, which, by the way, I think, ironically, it may have been a different type of cancer, but in Maverick, Top Gun, that's what he was dying from. So maybe that was obvious and I didn't know it until I saw that he passed away and read a little bit about it. But, I mean, kind of a legendary actor and such a very distinct actor in terms of face and voice over the years. Like, you knew, you know Val Kilmer's Batman. You know him from Top Gun fame. You know him from so many of the movies that he was in and great in. 65, wow, way too young, very sad. He was so good playing Jim Morrison in the movie about the Doors, which was now, I don't know, that movie may have come out 25 years ago, something like that. Just incredible roles over the years. Great actor. I was reading something about him this morning that he went to high school with Kevin Spacey. And they were friends in high school. 65 years old. Terrible.
Like the cause of death is pneumonia. So he beat cancer, sure. And then
he had been battling cancer. Yep.
I think he only played Batman once, though, which is a shame. Because then he went to Clooney, and the Clooney Batman was whatever. They put nipples on the bat suit. It was a whole big thing. It's big in the Batman community. I'm sure you're aware.
I would say that, correct me if I'm wrong, but playing Iceman in the original Top Gun was his first big role. I would think that would be almost the beginning of his acting career, because that's 1985 or 1986.
He did that before Batman. Yeah.
Yeah.
Batman was the 90s.
When was the Jim Morrison role? Hold on, let me look this up. I'm going to say that was mid-90s.
Yeah, I would imagine that was mid-90s.
1991.
Early 90s.
Early 90s.
Yeah. Wow, so his second film was Top Gun. That's pretty impressive.
His second film?
Yeah, his second major film was Top Gun. Film. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it says here was his third film, but yeah, that would have been his first.
Yeah, sorry, he did two prior. Yeah. Math is tough over here.
It's all right. Okay. Well, sad. but clearly not well in recent years. All right. Real quick,
just breaking news out of the NBA. The Wolves are agreeing to sell to Mark Lowry and Alex Rodriguez.
What's that sale price?
That just popped up. I don't know that I've seen a price for it yet.
It's not going to be $6 billion. It's not going to be the Celtics price. It's Minneapolis. I have no idea what the number is, but I would guess it's half of the cost of Celtics, if not. What is it? Do you know?
I'm looking up now. I don't even think it'll be the Suns 4 point whatever.
$1.5 billion price tag.
Eesh.
Glenn Taylor's agreed to sell to the Mark Lohr Alex Rodriguez group, acquiring 100% ownership of the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Minnesota Lynx at the same $1.5 billion price tag that the sides reached in 2021.
Okay. Damn, letting 4 years go by and not raising the price is crazy.
No, 2021. 4 years ago.
4 years.
Oh, yeah.
Still,
you said
4 years
ago. I thought you said 40 for whatever.
I would have thought the price would have went up a little bit.
Well, based on the comps in the neighborhood, you would think that for sure. But truly, the Celtics are not anywhere near in the same neighborhood that the Timberwolves are.
I would at least bumped it up to two.
Minnesota, you know, for a long period of time was... it may now be... No, because Minnesota made the conference finals last year, right? The longest stretch for a city with four pro sports teams in between conference, you know, the semifinals, the conference finals, you know, the championship game, NFC championship game, etc. Washington had the longest stretch until the Caps. Yeah, I think Minnesota had the longest streak until the T-Wolves last year made it to the Western Conference.
I think the streak that you're thinking is a championship.
It's a championship?
Yeah, not conference, which is still
So what was Minnesota's last championship? The Twins?
The Twins got there.
Of Kirby Puckett, you know.
I think in 92 vintage. It was, I think, something like that.
Yeah.
It was like right after the Skins' last Super Bowl.
Yeah. Actually, I think it was the same year. Didn't the Twins win it in 91? I think they did.
So it was a couple months then.
Okay. We got a guest coming up. Buzz Williams press conference at noon. We'll carry some of that live. We'll give you guys a chance, Terp fans, to weigh in on the Buzz Williams hire after we hear from him. But up next, joining us from College Station, Texas, Mark Passwater has covered Texas A&M sports. We'll get the perspective from down there on Buzz Williams leaving A&M for Maryland. That's next. Kevin Sheehan Show, The Team 980 and TheTeam980.com.